Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 878. I am Brian Kilby. Radio Free Cybertron is the world's first and oldest toy and action figure podcast, going back to 1999. I almost said 1979. Which I was going to be talking about myself.
And me. And Rob Play.
And Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd be Dan.
So if I flub up or say the wrong thing tonight, I feel funny. But not like in a ironic clown comic strip sort of way. Just off. Off my game today.
So which Lazarus are you?
Which Lazarus am I?
Yeah. Lazarus or Lazarus?
Is there?
I don't get that reference.
Sorry, original series. What of Lazarus?
Oh.
So which Brian Kilby are you?
The alternative factor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel bad, Don, for not getting that.
I mean, most people don't like, you know, have that episode
bleeding
in their
minds. That's not one that you show people to get them to watch Star Trek. But it's
This is true.
Okay, Don, Chris, Diecast, Matt, Rob, and John DeLuna back again. John was telling us about his who lives in Dallas. The total eclipse was this past weekend here in the United States. John lives in totality, and he had to go on a business trip to Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great the timing. Saddest story.
Yeah, Chris though actually traveled to Indiana.
Yeah, about a 6-hour drive,
and had a blast.
Yes, I actually saw. With my own, you know, unassisted eyes, 100% totality eclipse. It was honestly one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And like, I will never see that again in my lifetime, most likely.
Yeah. So if you've not been in totality, 99% might as well be 0%. A photograph doesn't capture it. Video doesn't capture it. It's something that you have to see for yourself, just like the Matrix. So, but yeah. I didn't go working on the house. We actually went to go look at a house today that probably going to put an offer in before I go to bed. I hate moving and buying houses, but like I've done it a lot over the last 7-8 years. Kind of sucks. And the house we like doesn't have room for my toys.
Yeah,
maybe
that's...
I might collect stamps.
I thought you were collecting silver.
I think stamps are probably the way to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What about baseball cards? You were doing that for a while.
I have so many problems. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on this week. We talked last week about the 40th anniversary showing of More Than Meets the Eye.
That's happening.
Yeah.
We don't have anything in the news about that this week, right? I just want to talk about it now. It's happening, at least for Diecast, myself, on May 15th, which is a Wednesday.
Huh.
Which means we need to do the show that week on Thursday, if at all possible.
Or just not have you and Diecast on.
Just not live stream it.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually could stream it now.
We have software?
I'm actually going as well, but the closest one... With my work schedule is in High Point, North Carolina, so it's not too far from here, Brian, but I have to go on Saturday because I didn't do it Wednesday because the show.
I only had the option for Wednesday. I did not have a Saturday option.
And I could swear that none of you were interested in this last week.
Well, I didn't think it was going to be anywhere near me.
Yeah, generally stuff like this. I had to drive to Greensboro and go to a 9:00 showing of Digimon Try Episode 1.
And you did not have to do that, Don.
Well, I thought I needed to, but it's Digimon. But I didn't see the rest of it because I didn't care. But that was the closest that last Fathom event was to me. And I was afraid it'd be some who knows where. And it's actually 10 minutes away from where I was born. So,
yeah, I fully expected this to be something that I would have to drive an hour to instead of 20 minutes to. 20 minutes away is much more doable and enticing.
Yeah, mine is 5 minutes away. And I did say I was going to go last week. I said I would. Yeah. And apparently I had a credit on Fandango anyway, so it only cost me like $3 for two tickets.
Nice. I bought the trip. I picked the triplet. I bought the ticket for triplet. So he and I are going.
Nice.
And it's $15 ahead. That's not a big deal.
Yeah. Well, y'all guys are much more up on technology than I am. I know that's a shock, but I was going to ask Fort Max this on Twitter, but y'all are here first. Is the quality of what is it going to be like trying to play an 8-bit Nintendo on a flat screen TV? Or can they make it look good on a screen that big?
They can.
When it wasn't made for a screen that big.
They're not playing it off VHS, Don.
I know.
It's been remastered for digital.
Right. I just didn't know what to expect from how much they could do from the original source.
All right. So the hopefully simple version of this is anything that was animated using cell animation exists on physical film, unless that film was lost or damaged, destroyed, whatever, in the meantime. But assuming the original rolls of film they shot to make the episodes out of those cells exist out there, anyone at any time who has the inclination and the money can go and rescan that film and digitize it. They can rescan it at a higher resolution than what was done for TV broadcast and transfer it to videotape to be broadcast over the air. So, like, you can legitimately get 720 or even 1080p transfers of old cartoons. Now, being that they were made, the cells were drawn for TV broadcast, you're probably not going to find like super detail on there, but you're also not going to have artifacts of like digital upscaling if they put a VHS, like Brian was saying, or even like an old DVD into something, into a projector, basically, and, you know, just let it fill the field. Yeah.
Because I can't think about what poor Fort Max went through with all these Kamen Rider and Super Sentai and they were doing.
Yeah, because when Toei started putting old Toku on DVD, they didn't know what the hell they were doing, and there was a lot more problems than like there was upscale issues with some of the Blu-rays, but also like even the DVD releases just were done really poorly because Toei didn't know what they were doing with the format.
It's kind of different.
Yeah, and some of those Rider shows were shot on videotape as far as I know, so that makes a difference.
I believe all of Kamen Rider has been filmed. The problem is that a number of the shows were then edited onto videotape, like the special effects and stuff were overlaid onto videotape master sources. So unless they did like they did with the Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-rays and took all that original film stock and recreated every special effects sequence onto a new digital transfer, all they can really do with that is upscale. Babylon 5 had a similar problem with its DVD releases when they wanted to They filmed Babylon 5 in widescreen. All of the effect shots, though, were framed in 4x3 for TV broadcast. There were no widescreen versions of those. So for the original DVD releases, they had to crop into the 4x3 to make that fill a widescreen format. So you would not only lose some of those effects composites, but the quality of the composited or special effects exclusive scenes was noticeably fuzzier and like just crappier in general. We went way afield on that.
Speaking of lose, neither Kamen Rider nor Babylon 5.
Animation, you got a lot more options for remastering that stuff as long as the original film stock exists. Yeah, I'm sorry. So we went way afield on what I said was going to be simple.
I want to get some clarification though. Like with the Rhino releases, my understanding is those were mastered from Betamax.
Quite possibly, like that very well might be what they had for their broadcast masters at that time. Because as I recall, Betamax was a higher quality videotape system than VHS. Yeah. And VHS only ended up winning out because Sony had more money. It was Sony, wasn't it? For VHS?
I forget.
Whoever developed VHS had more money to throw at the problem, the same way that Blu-ray won over HD DVD because, in that case, that was Sony. They had more money to throw at the problem. and just, you know, blanket saturate the market with their stuff and choke out the competitor.
I think Sony was beta.
Okay, well, they learned their lesson from that and made sure to choke out their competition when it came to the Blu-ray war.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But Don, it'll look fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll look fine, Don.
What might be a more pertinent question about this is that if they, you know, if they've got an HD scan of More Than Meets the Eye Part 1 or Part 1 through 3 in the first episode, could this mean we're going to see a Blu-ray release of G1 at some point in the near future?
I would hope so.
Don't need it. What I have is fine.
Wouldn't mind it. Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Brian, we need City of Steel in 1080p.
I mean,
we need Carnage and C Minor in 1080p.
Right. So you're making perfect arguments both for and against this because, like, you know, in the one frame of mind, yes, I agree. We need those episodes in 1080p. You know, full high definition. At the same time, those episodes were never animated. Like the cells weren't drawn with a high level of detail, so you're not going to get anything out of that except just a sharper picture of how poorly drawn the series usually was. And there's an interesting thing I've discovered recently with taking old cell animated shows and rescanning them for Blu-ray. Sometimes the transfer is so sharp you can actually see like little otherwise imperceptible like shadows where the separation of the cell elements happened when they were taking the individual pictures of the assembled scenes.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It also makes the stuff look really weird when, like, you know, characters are just surrounded by this little, you know, fuzzy dark halo where they weren't quite flat against their background.
Cool. Okay, let's jump to the news. This is one, I got the press release, and I actually told my wife about it. Like, we were in the car when I got it. There's a Transformers-themed episode of The Masked Singer coming our way. I don't know what that means. I stopped at the headline.
Okay. It's on tonight, isn't it?
It's only 13 minutes. So I can feel this.
Going to drop.
Like, I can feel this.
Why? You watch this show?
Christy and I, we watch The Masked Singer every week.
So
we love it.
Wednesdays, is that like where you skip the show, you leave at like 9 o'clock?
No, that's why we have it. That's why we have a DVR.
Yeah.
So are you excited about this?
I am. It's going to be very interesting to see what the music selections are. Some of the singers in the promo have sung before in earlier Browns, and they're all fairly good singers. Some are better than others, of course. But I'm just really looking forward to seeing what songs they pick. If they're doing obviously The Touch or doing something else. So, but this just shows how impactful the Transformers are in their 40th year that they're getting, you know, this is something like you would see in Japan.
Or how deep Hasbro's pockets are.
Yeah, I was about to say, or how large a check that cleared.
Right, exactly. But I'm also just saying this is something, and Chris and Matt and Rob can back me up on this. You have stage shows and premieres, all this stuff in Japan around this pop culture media, besides it's just a show and some toys. It's an entire industry of plays and all this kind of stuff. This is just a bare sample of what they've had for decades over there surrounding their heroes and the myths of the Japanese culture. Seeing this on television is like, it's kind of a, this is an important cultural milestone in pop culture. Yeah, there was a lot of money being thrown around. I'm no idiot on that. But I'm just saying the franchise that we love is getting out there and it's like, hey, this has been around for 40 years. Come see why.
Okay, so Don, important. Just in from our Discord, tfradio.net/Discord. Fast Talk Food Reviews asks, Don, would you watch if it was a Supreme Cheetor costume?
Important questions.
We'll talk about that later.
It occurs to me that in all this, we have not mentioned what The Masked Singer actually is. And The Masked Singer is a reality show where people sing in full costume so you can't tell who it is until they're done.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I'm just interested in what song selections they would use.
It's if the theme. That's, I can't imagine it being anything other than
Everyone does a different song, though.
Yeah,
so.
There's four singers. There's going to be four songs.
Oh, I can't wait for one of them to sing the Beast Wars theme.
It could be movie related. They could be songs that were on the movie soundtrack.
Yeah. Or it could just be the costumes. Yeah. Maybe the music has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that possibly. Could well be.
Maybe. I mean, it could be a lot of Linkin Park for all we know, but it's still something I'm looking forward to.
Report back next week, Don.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. We will talk about this next week in follow-up.
Do we have to?
Yeah. So, John Warden is returning to Transformers.
Awesome. Love John.
He's a great
John
guy.
Is great. I mean, I've had personal experiences with him, you know, being able to meet him in person and talk with him. And I really like John is the one who told me I could not turn the submarine six shot upside down.
Yeah.
Well, that's called capsizing diecast, and that's a sign of a catastrophic failure.
That's right. Yeah.
I was worried about John because his last role was on the Power Rangers team, and we all know Power Rangers is taking a hiatus.
What team?
Yeah. Yeah. So
he was on Ghostbusters too, the Plasma series stuff.
I remember he was part of the Proton Pack, but I did not know about the other stuff. But yeah, congratulations, John. It looks like a promotion because he's now listed as a director. I'm not sure if he's
director of product design, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I haven't checked into this lately. I think that might have been the role or something similar that Sam Smith was in when he was part of the team. Sam Smith has not been part of the Transformers team since like late 2022 or early 2023. So it's possible John Warden has now been brought in to kind of take over what his job had been before. Like that's kind of the read I'm getting off of this.
And I don't even remember that person. I apologize.
Yeah, okay. King Samlock, he was doing a lot of the like specifically live action movie studio series stuff, a lot of design work on that. He was like one of the least like publicly present members of the team since they started the social media push. But you know, He was a very you know, chill guy on the stream. He obviously, you know, liked doing the presentation aspect when he had the opportunity to do that. But yeah, since he moved off the team and went to, I think, Play School about a year ago, a little bit more, you know, he hasn't been being in the spotlight very much because the products he participated in the design of, most of them have come out already. And there's just, you know, whatever spare few maybe still in the pipeline. Making their way out that he would have anything to have any input on.
Okay, guys, for those viewers that are newer to the fandom and don't know this, let's say, just for the sake of argument, I was in charge of Hasbro. Just crazy, you are. Crazy thought, I know.
I think we've established this already.
Yeah, no, just saying, just what if I was? If I brought John Warden back, what has he done specifically in the past people can look at and see and get a feel for
Titans Return.
Recall, like the first stuff we started to really see from him was around the Thrilling 30 with I think Generations Whirl was one of the first things we saw.
Whirl and Roadbuster were the first things
impressive resume as far as
I would say Combiner Wars is what stands out to me.
Yes. Like,
and he's a G. What he's a G1er. So we have like
they're minds. All, like, you know, in a way, and I hate to say it, in a way, the Transformers team in general is G1ers, even though the individual people may not be. In aggregate, it's just how it works out because it's what's sold, the middle-aged men.
But yeah, I can't wish John, you know, enough the best of luck and congratulations, and I and look forward.
Please,
to seeing
please
what
don't
he
put
does.
Battle damage on my toys.
Please.
Yeah, I was joking on Blue Sky last night that if John had seen a shadow, we'd have gotten six more years of Beast Wars toys. But overall, yeah, he oversaw some lines of Transformers I really loved. I do, you know, under the newer teams, I have enjoyed the widened scope of Generations, and I felt like before and after John, I enjoyed that, and I felt like his approach to Transformers was a little bit narrower, more focused on G1 and Japanese G1. that said, again, the toys were really good. So I'm just, you know.
Yes, we got some great toys out of it. Like I said, I personally love Combiner Wars. Everybody else seems to love Titans Returns as much as I love Combiner Wars. But then Combiner at the Wars. Same times, I mean, we seem to be, you know, subject to his whims at times where, you know, he really loved to put battle damage on toys because he...
I think he knows now.
Yeah, because he
shouldn't.
Because of his memory of finding a jump starter, I think, out a dirty jump starter outside one time.
Well, in his backyard.
Yeah, something like that. But that also, that memory and nostalgia was also why we got, like, the, honestly, like, high point of the Deluxe Titans Return lineup jump starter mold.
Yeah.
You know, he obviously put all of his heart into making what he could for the perfect jump starter update at that time. But yeah, like I love and appreciate that Combiner Wars exist. It's amazing to me we got a line like that. But like Titans Return is the thing that just like lives in my head as like this was a really cool like exploration of a play pattern with a lot of varied toys. And the play pattern was a little intrusive into the toys if you had a problem with popping the heads off to transform most of them. But like
or for the character most part, selection.
But for the most part, the toys still got to have like individual design identities, which the Combiner Wars toys really were kind of stripped of for the sake of being able to be, you know, robot vehicle and any limb for any combiner. But like, yeah, Combiner Wars, Titans Return, and even Power of the Primes as like almost directionless as it felt at times, like were three pretty good toy lines in a row. So, like, I'll be interested to see in about 2 years, you know, what John Warden's influence on the design team returning will look like for us.
Yeah, I'm cautiously excited about his return to the team. Like I said, he's done a lot of stuff I like in the past. So, you know, here's hoping.
Plus, it's important to cycle the design team people in some capacity every little while because, like, we've had a cool, like, state-of-the-art in Transformers with how the toys are designed on just, like, a basic level since Siege started with, you know, a basically fixed articulation model on the toys. Everything can kind of move the same way and do the same things. But, like, when you've had that for a while and everything kind of works around that, it, you know, it starts to get a little, I don't want to call it bland, but it is a little bit samey, and you need, like, you know, a fresh set of eyes looking at it and seeing like, okay, how can we work on that, but also kind of work at it from a different direction or whatever, you know, we just need, you know, some freshness brought in, even though John's been on the team before, like he will have different ideas for this and can probably take that and make it be, you know, a more novel thing for a while again, once, you know, his work starts kind of filtering in more. I don't want to lose the things we got starting with Siege, but I want to see like what can be added to that to kind of breathe some life back into the toy design.
Yeah, we're getting some really good toys now. I mean, yeah. I'm talking Studio Series 86 Brawn, Transformers United Gears. Like these are fantastic toys. So, yeah, I don't want to see changes to our current design team, but I am happy to see a trusted hand coming back to the team at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So we have an official reveal of Masterpiece Jinrai.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to be pretty positive on it.
I love it.
I'm not one of those people.
I'm actually not surprised.
I'm right there with you, Brian. I am not happy.
I really hope you can adjust the anime robot hip thrust.
Oh yeah, you always can.
As seen in, you know, the individual Jinrai model, I don't care for that.
That's the Japanesey pose.
Yeah, yeah, I'm happy that I don't want to buy it. I don't want to spend the money on it.
And I mean, other than that, I do like it. I don't know if I'm going to buy it because it is expensive. But the super mode, the MPG9 is it looks really good.
I wish I could agree with you, Matt. And you know me, I don't like being the voice of dissension on early picks. I've always said wait until the final pictures, close, you know, stuff like that comes out before you make a decision. But he just doesn't look right in combined mode. He just he just doesn't look right. I couldn't tell you on a bullet point what's right and what's wrong, but when he's combined with this
trailer,
there's
no God bomber on him yet. That's what's wrong.
Well, he just doesn't give it look time. Right. If the Genrai, I'll be honest, this is a very minor thing. If the Genrai cab only came with the choking power effects, I would get the Genrai just because that's a cool looking effect, you know, where he's doing the choking power. But for the price, I don't want it for that price, and it looks wrong. And I'm only imagining when there's a God bomber, what's it going to do to it?
I love it. I actually just pre-ordered it on Amazon Japan. Because it's official, it's good, it's something I've wanted since I was, you know, had that original toy as a child. So, and I don't think the price is that bad for what you're getting. You know, maybe due to the exchange rate right now, but I really don't.
But with the issues some of the Takara stuff has had diecast, plus look at, even though it's not doing as much as the train bots, it's still a combiner of sorts. That's why it's got the G designation.
Don't worry about it, Don. I think you're reading too much into it.
I'm just worried about that much money and something in the master. If this was 5 years ago or so, I'd have a little bit more faith as far as the quality.
But yeah, my quality concerns are what are keeping me from pre-ordering it now. Like, if it were to come out and be absolutely amazing, you know, by other people's standards, you know, I might reconsider it now. But I have dealt with one too many masterpieces, especially in this MPG line, that I just don't ever want to touch again.
But look, it doesn't have that much clear plastic. It's basically only the windows on the cab.
That's what this thing has going for it, is a very simple design from the original toy, and that does not require a ton of clear plastic.
Yeah, simple design. It doesn't look like it's super complicated to transform or anything. I think, from what I can see, I'm 95% positive that this is going to be a decent masterpiece.
But for that much money, diecast,
it's not that much money. It's two train bots.
Well, yes, okay. It's that much money.
Yeah, it is. But I'm just saying,
the train bots were expensive.
For $250, give or take shipping, is decent something we should be glad to be getting?
Don's right.
Maybe I used the wrong word. Maybe I should have used, this is going to be an excellent masterpiece. I mean,
so you want to just lie to us?
No, I'm not lying to you. I'm 95% positive this is going to be an excellent masterpiece. Let me put it that way.
I think you're right.
Stockholm syndrome talking, honestly.
I hope you're right. There's just, I'm not a big fan of how the super mode looks myself. I can't tell you quite why. It just doesn't.
The arm proportions are off.
Yeah,
that's a God bomber thing. Yeah.
Yeah. In truck mode, those arms, I'm hoping that's like bad Ironhide level photography this early on, but those arms just look terrible in truck mode.
Yeah. And just, yeah, there's something else about it too. I mean, it doesn't help that whereas, okay, so this is just a problem that Genrai toys sometimes have, which is that in animation, white next to gray looks okay. In toys, white next to silver looks like you're wearing a diaper. And that just kind of, that look, that especially just how very, very like shiny that silver is just kind of part of what's throwing me. Also, I just feel like it's a little bit too, I don't know. Yeah, I think Matt's right about the arms primarily, but it just feels like also it should be, it seems like taller and skinnier than I'd like it to be. And, you know, since I like the God Bomber upgrade, I like the idea of it, but the toy, you know, I had, or my brother had, and I coveted as a kid, was basically the Super Genrai, and that, you know, that is the mode I will probably want out of it the most, and it's just not quite doing it for me.
I'm also concerned about the smaller Genrai, because like where the waist attaches, like the pelvis to the abdomen, is one hinge directly on the front of the toy.
Ah, yeah. So almost exactly like the Perfect Effect Genrai mold, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do like the look of the base robot. Otherwise, I think when you look at all the accessories together, it's just kind of funny to me that it comes with two different scales of Genrai and two different scales of gun. But yeah, I think I'm just gonna, you know, not like I have a lot of masterpieces anyway, but I'm probably just gonna wait and hope that they do a commander class of Power Master Optimus Prime / Super Genrai.
That's me.
Kind of what I want.
I think looking
and there
at
are
this,
always repaints in the future if this actually turns out to be good.
Oh Winkley yeah,
quest
on
fire, but,
guts.
You know,
fire guts.
Hearing y'all talk about it, I think the word that pops into my head that makes me what I feel when I see this set, janky. It looks janky.
That's your opinion.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
clear.
I don't see that.
I like just, it.
Yes, don't make us edit you like we edited Diecast about about the HasLab.
Yeah,
I think for my part, for what this masterpiece and obviously the God Bomber that would eventually follow, I kind of would just want to take the money I'd spend on that and put it toward getting the Unite Warriors EX version God Genrai with the extra Titan Masters and the clear plastic. Like, I think that's more where I'm at on this. I like the visual styling of that, oddly enough, and I don't know if I call it janky, but like I agree, something about this visually is just not working for me.
I am underwhelmed. I'm not getting it. I don't need it. It looks nice enough, but Rob's right. I'd rather have a commander class.
Anyway, I just want to highlight before we move on in our Discord, tfradio.net/Discord, Eric Crownover with the most correct take out of the whole thing. Money isn't real to Diecast.
That's the new episode title.
Truth.
And I'm not upset as far if someone, you know, this is kind of like the reverse of what Diecast and I were feeling for RID HasLab Optimus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't begrudge you. If you like it, you win. That's awesome. Go for it. It doesn't look right. And it's like, I've got other stuff I put my money towards and I'll wait and see how it turns out.
Even discounting third party, this is not going to be the last version of Power Master Optimus Prime. I mean, that's just the long and the short of it. If we wait long enough, a better version for our particular wants will come around.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my masterpiece. I got Star Saber, but I didn't get the masterpiece Leo Convoy.
Masterpiece Victory Leo.
Yeah,
Victory Leo. Yeah, maybe one day.
Let's see here. Next item we have more Genrai stuff. We'll skip that. What is this? Original masterpiece ending and being replaced with MPG.
That's what it appears to be. Because MP60 Genrai, if you count in all the pluses and everything, MP60 Genrai is the 100th masterpiece release.
Well, I thought the G just meant combiner.
There are like three different meanings for it, I think.
At least.
I'm not sure what all it is, but I think one of them is technically masterpiece great. So like it's just they're moving everything to that subline, it looks like.
So I think we're going from Vinyl Tech to Alternity. We're just looking at a slight, you know, brand name refreshment.
Well, if we're going from Vinyl Tech to Alternity, that would also imply a downscaling because Alternity was...
That's true. Yeah. I was thinking similar. There's the Alternity were still Vinyl Tech, just not being called Vinyl Tech. And if you're right, there was the scale issue involved.
I mean, the only thing really Vinyl Tech about the Alternity toys was that they turned into, you know, real licensed cars. Like most of the alternator Vinyl Tech quality of them kind of fell away. You know, you didn't have things like the steering racks and stuff that worked in some of the toys, and there wasn't in the ones I had, there wasn't really interiors to speak of. So I mean, it might have been a loose spiritual successor to Vinyl Tech, and I'm pretty certain that the way was it Ichikawa who wrote the fiction for that, like the fiction was written to have that as a successor to Vinyl Tech, but like toy wise not so much. Yeah, I mean, I think Genrai kind of shows that we're probably still getting like the same size range of toys in MPG as an original masterpiece. So we probably don't have to worry about, like, you know, having to rebuy all the 84 and 85 characters they've already done at a new scale. Not yet, anyway. And, you know, for people who are bemoaning, like, wow, Masterpiece never even got around to Jazz before they canceled it, you know, things like that. If Jazz is to ever come out, it could come out in MPG and probably still be just as compatible with the Masterpieces as it would have been otherwise. Like, I think this is just a branding thing. And when they introduced MPG, they may not have even intended to do this, and they're just they're responding with this because either the MPG stuff looked good on their books because everybody bought all six train bots, so it looks like, you know, a really strong sales performer, and they want to focus on that, or, you know, they've been keeping up with the in Japan, you know, fandom and collector reactions and, like, maybe confusion over two different Masterpiece imprints, and they just want to consolidate that all down into one thing, so they're going with the new one they introduced instead. You know,
and just simple also, things like that. Yeah, also for, like, anybody that might be getting into the line for the first time, if you see MP60, you think, oh, I've missed a whole lot of stuff. I don't want to go back and track down 59 other ones. So, much like comic books, start all over with a brand new number one every 12 months or so.
Mm-hmm. I told Brian that we should do that with the podcast in years past, that we should just every once in a while rebrand as RFC number one.
Will this mean MPM is also?
So I would say MPM is, I would say MPM is already its own, like, separate thing in, you know, the Masterpiece hierarchy. So I don't think it would be affected by this either way. That said, like, who knows, in 6 months we could get, you know, a solicitation for MPGM, you know, like,
yeah.
But since Movie Masterpiece has already been, you know, kind of off doing its own thing anyway, I would sort of just assume they're going to keep that as a separate sideline.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
So yeah, I've just been looking at various, like, animation stills of Super Genrai while we've been talking, and yeah, Matt's especially right about the arms. I feel like proportionally, like, there's just certain angles that this supports better than others, and those are not being shown in the promotional photos so far. But also, if, you know, if God Bomber happens to come with a good set of bulkier arms for Super Genrai, it would definitely alter my interest in this figure.
There are 5mm parts on those forearms of Super Mode, just saying.
Okay,
so we've talked in the past about that Unicron chair. This
lamp?
This
the lamp?
Yeah, so this Karakuri prototype Optimus Prime statue comes with a cake that he stands on. Is that what this is?
Okay, so, like, it seems like all of the moving parts of this is that motorized auto-transforming statue that we were talking about a few months ago. It seems like all of the, like, motors and some of the gear work is just down in that base, so it doesn't have to be, you know, crammed up into the main body and, like, distort how that's going to look. So, yes, it comes with a cake, but the cake is full of motors.
Okay. Yeah, I believe Karakuri is like a traditional Japanese type of mechanized figure, so that's probably why it is the way it is.
Kind of looks
like, sorry, what?
I want to see it in color.
Beyond the photo,
a larger version of this, but in color, because it doesn't look bad.
No, in robot mode, it kind of looks like Optimus Prime is, like, riding a Roomba as his chariot. It just, I don't know.
Roomba cake.
Optimus Prime is a cat?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but I think even the color pictures in this article are probably still the renders that we looked at when we first talked about this.
Yeah.
It looks like an updated version of the G1 toy. Not missing Link.
Yeah, it heavily favors that.
Yeah.
Well, if you want, you know, to be honest, the G1 engineering is probably always going to be the most straightforward way to turn that shape into a truck. So
absolutely.
Okay. What else? Part of categories. Swapticons. I don't like that now. I don't like that sound of that name.
Swapticons.
Swapticons.
No, sounds too. But have you looked at the product listings for it yet?
Mm-hmm.
Swapticon Nemesis Prime Clench.
Oh, ha, ha, ha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's go through. Chris, you do it. You do it.
So, I mean, we don't know if this is going to be some kind of like weaponizer adjacent thing or what's going on with this, or if it might be another one of those like,
I'm thinking like Hero Mashers.
Yeah. Hero Mashers. That's what I was trying to. Yeah. I think it's going to be something like that. So what we've got here listed is, Swapticons OP Ultra Magnus. So like, I guess Optimus Ultra Magnus. I'm not sure, exactly what they're going for there. Megatron Shockwave, it seems like, is the other one. So, I wonder if these are like two packs, actually. That just occurred to me, they're probably two packs. So like an Optimus Prime and an Ultra Magnus, a Megatron and a Shockwave. That'd be Bumblebee and Hot Rod then, Grimlock and Snarl, Cheetor, Tigatron. You can tell I've been away for a few days and haven't had a chance to like go over a bunch of this in detail.
Analyze it.
Yeah. But yeah, like the really interesting ones are Nemesis Prime and Clench. We have Shadow Panther and Ravage, which is interesting because those are not particularly dissimilar to start with, and if you factor in Japanese continuities, they are often actually the same character.
Well, I was looking at Starscream and Thundercracker, like that's going to be a boring one. They're both this exact same jet.
Yeah, probably a little bit. I mean, well, we don't even know if these are going to transform. If they're like the Hero Mashers, they're just going to be action figures with, you know, parts that you can pop off and trade.
Yeah, so it might just be the same figure in a different color.
So that I clicked into this and saw the picture of Clench and got excited. I am now no longer excited.
So, before I blather, Matt, you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Just looking at these, I have a feeling that what we're going to be looking at is like a one figure that can become either of those things, just because a lot of those are so very similar. You know, Optimus Prime and assuming Ultra Magnus is Cab, Cheetor and Tigatron, Starscream and Thundercracker, Shadow Panther and Ravage. The thing that makes me wonder though is just, you know, then they're the ones that are not like super similar. I'm not sure how you swap parts on a Bumblebee to get Hot Rod or vice versa.
You use Earthspark or Cyberverse Bumblebee, who is a sports car.
Yeah. Like, so you're describing this being like punch counter punch, basically.
That's kind of what it makes me think of. Just Megatron and Shockwave could even work in the same way that Megatron Galvatron prototype from G1 worked. But I'm kind of thinking non-transforming figures with like, Hero Mashers or Zivaz style part swapping.
I'm thinking the torso is going to have one character on the front and then one character on the back.
The punch counter punch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Ryan was saying. And then you're going to have just the random parts scattered around the side that you can make either figure, but the torso will be the only difference. You just turn that around.
This all sounds really complicated. Just give me a Clench.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. Transformers Cross Bingo Sports Corvette. Oh, I saw this today. It's an interesting looking. Was this like last night? Optimus Prime. What is this?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's from the Crosswise.
Crosshairs
mold.
Seemingly, yeah.
Yeah. Seeing this, I saw like a very small picture of it on Twitter, and like seeing a larger version of this, I'm not feeling it.
It's weird.
Yeah, somebody out there would love this.
Like, I love it because it's Corvette.
So. I kind of figured.
Yeah.
That's why I put in the show notes exactly what it was, because
it's not a great robot, but I would love to own this just to have it in vehicle mode.
Well, guess what? You can own it.
Can I?
How much is it?
I don't know. Is it something that's actually coming out?
Yes. I assume.
I mean, you can go to a bingo parlor based on what I'm reading, right?
Like
bingo
pre-order should start around June of this year and is planned to release around December. Prices yet to be determined.
Oh, Bingo Sports. So it's not like I can go hang out with grandma and
No, if it was something like that, it'd be more likely to be Pachinko Optimus Prime because I
didn't know if this was like a BAPE Optimus Prime where, you know, chances of getting it are slim to none without paying through the nose.
Ah, but in that case, there would be copious bootlegs of it that you could get easily in for a song. No, you'll probably have to go through a middleman. I doubt this is going to be offered directly to us. but there's no reason you shouldn't be able to pick one of these up for some amount of money. But I mean, considering what you've already spent on Corvettes in your life, diecast, this should be you know, this should be nothing to you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I definitely pick this up unless it's like super unreasonable.
We've yet to find out what that number is in diecast world. So
okay. So Transformers 1 trailer rumored to land April 18th, which means it'll land after next week's show, so we may not know about it for two more episodes. So
right.
Is anybody excited about this?
No.
Not even remotely.
So I'm curious.
Yeah, curious would be the good word.
I'm not opposed to like seeing this and being blown away by it and surprised.
That's what I would like to happen.
Yes. But yeah, I think it's unnecessary.
I think the same way that I broke myself off of the Marvel Cinematic Universe by just at one point saying, like, I don't feel like going and watching whatever movie it was. It might have been one of the Spider-Mans. But like from that point forward, it's just like, yeah, you know, I don't really think I need to try to make time for this in my life and like, you know, go out of my way. And I think in Transformers movies, that was Rise of the Beast for me, which I've still not watched, even though it is freely available to me at any time on Amazon Prime Video.
It's okay. It's entirely okay.
I can't
make myself care enough to actually watch it.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
I tried watching Rise of the Beasts one day, and it was just, I was in a bad mood, and it was not a good day to try a movie I wasn't sure about.
So,
sorry, John, did I interrupt you?
Oh, no. I would say XV's right.
Oh, thank you.
You have the right point of view on that movie. Thank you.
I was listening to a movie review podcast, and I was just checking the backlog, and I saw Rise of the Beast, and they crapped all over it, but they said it was a million times better than Bumblebee, which they thought was terrible.
Oh, they have bad opinions.
Well,
no, yeah. Bumblebee was good. I can't say how right or wrong they were about Rise of the Beast comparatively, but the Bumblebee movie was good for a Transformers movie, especially.
It was great for a Transformers movie. It was.
Yeah. Thank you for adding that qualifier.
It was okay for a movie. I like this better than Bumblebee, but like it's not like it's obviously better or worse. They're both middling.
The Bumblebee movie was a movie that I was comfortable showing to friends who have casual to basically no interest in Transformers, and knowing they would be able to enjoy it and not look at it and think that it was a, you know, badly made stupid piece of garbage. And that was the first Transformers movie I could do that with anyone.
It still got a little bit of that in it.
A little bit, but like for the most part, it is cohesive and knows what it's doing from start to finish.
Yeah.
And it's at a pace that you can actually like absorb and keep up with what's going on. Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, what about this Optimus Prime bucket?
So we think this is gonna be like, it's distorted to work as a popcorn bucket. He's probably not gonna have these proportions in the movie design. Although you never know. Like what I'm seeing here is it looks very similar to the early concept design for Rise of the Beast Optimus, which we saw in some of the basic toys for the movie that came out like during the delay period. Notably that one in the Cyberverse packaging. It looks fairly close to that, which makes me wonder if they kept that and just kind of kept iterating on that and, you know, kept it in circulation so they could apply it to a movie in the future. Like that design probably would have worked for live action for Rise of the Beast, but I think it is going to be like, if they are basing it on that, it's going to be a good look for like a Cybertronian style for Transformers 1. That's like less so the movie itself. I'm interested to see what the design philosophy for the characters is going to be in Transformers 1 and how that's going to end up translating to toys. You know, movies can come and go, but like the toys are what's going to be the thing that keeps my interest in any iteration of this. And if they do some cool stuff with the toys, then yeah, I'll care about Transformers 1, at least in some capacity. If this is where this design style is going, like I think this is promising, because it doesn't just look like G1 cartoon Optimus. It doesn't look like Bay Movies Optimus. You know, they're doing something a little bit different here, and I'm all for that.
I like how it has no photos, and we, you know, you can clearly see that in the photo with Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's long been a thing for like Japanese expos. You know, they'll have different exhibits, the no photo sign, and like it's a sport. I guess it's kind of a meme at this point. Like, you know, you sneak a picture and you make sure to get that no photo sign in there. You know, it's just, it's kind of the expected thing at this point. So like, that's not an accident. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these, the reason they do put no photos on them is because they're pending approval, approval from the, from the licensee. So, or the licensor,
The licensor is the person granting the license.
Yeah. So the licensor. So they're waiting for the final approval, which is usually why they have those signs, because they don't want pictures going around like of something that's not approved yet.
Mm-hmm.
I for whatever reason, the profile reminds me of Commander Class Jetfire.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I now that you say that, I kind of see exactly what you're seeing there.
Yeah.
The extra armor piece that you can snap on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just how it feels to me. I don't hate it. I want to see more. But like, looking at this, it's like, hey, maybe this Transformers One thing is going to be more interesting than we think, because just like everything Chris said, just generally speaking, whatever Chris said.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
We can save so much time on the podcast.
Whatever Chris said. that's money isn't real. Diecast is still the episode title. I'm not.
Oh, no. I 100% agree. But that's otherwise, gonna be tough one to beat.
Okay.
Thank you again, Eric. That was wonderful.
Yes. I love you, Eric. I need to give you a hug. I haven't seen you in forever. Transformers 40th anniversary exhibit in Osaka, May 10th to June 3rd.
I wonder if I can fly out to that.
Do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have a shop that you support in Osaka? Can you sell them?
You know, they're always interested in our tools.
I was about to say, could you tell your boss you're going to do like an exploratory trip to Japan and see if you can get any new clients there?
I actually have a lot of vacation time because I haven't taken any vacation in a while. So I could even just take vacation and go over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do they give any details about what this is? Because it could be very interesting, because some of these exhibits in Japan have been where some of the wooden prototypes for Transformers and other like very early models have been shown that we otherwise wouldn't have seen. So there could actually be some really fascinating, like, you know, engineering work on display here, depending on how they go with it.
I'll read from what TFW has in their summary. There's not much details on the official website, but the event will cover the rich Transformers history from G1, Beast Wars, and live-action movies. That's pretty much, you know, what we know about at this point.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's, you know, merchandise that they'll be selling exclusively during the event.
Well, now I have to go.
Control keychains, a t-shirt, nebulous other items, plus a clear plastic version of Core Class Dark of the Moon Bumblebee.
And tickets are only like $10, so
I mean, you know, you'll spend $2,500 to fly over there and everything, but at least when you go to the exhibit, you only spend $10 for the ticket.
Yeah, and well, you know, and it's Takara Tomy, so it's stuff that we probably haven't seen over here, at least in person.
Person, yeah.
Yeah. A couple interesting items around our pal Ant from TFU Info. We've talked about this for a couple years, this Amazon Optimus Prime. And I don't remember if Ant showed this to me when he first got it. I think he did, but I know he told me about it. And we have a mock-up of what that was going to look like. Now, what I don't know is if they're using which version of Optimus is that?
Earthrise.
So that's why when I put the headline in here, I specifically said it was a mock-up of the Amazon Optimus Prime. So JT Prime and or Hyper Shouta kind of clarified afterward that this is just like a concept model kind of thing to, you know, show what they were going for. But the Volvo
the VNR Optimus.
Was what was made to be this. Yeah. They just did not have the visualization of it at that time, but I think.
We talked about forever about this Amazon Prime Optimus and how much we... I wanted it.
I want it.
Yeah. It looks it looks nice. I guess if we got this in this blue color, we probably wouldn't have gotten the Holiday Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah. I think
which you're right I love that. More than this.
I do love a blue Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Like Magna Convoy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think if I had both in my hand and you said I had to give you one back that I would be able to choose.
That's fair.
I mean, if it was me, I would 100% give you back the Amazon one and keep the Holiday because, like, anything theoretically can have Amazon promotional branding on it. You don't really get Christmas Transformers, really.
Yeah, by Hasbro.
In particular.
I get that. I just really love, maybe it's my love of Pepsi Optimus Prime, just the dual branding on that Pepsi Optimus Prime has kept my thirst for more like that. Like I bought the Target Optimus Prime. I didn't even mean that. I ordered the Target Optimus Prime right away. I love that dual branding, with Optimus Prime. It's just, it's interesting. It's different. You don't get much of that. So maybe the Target Optimus Prime came about because of this Amazon Optimus Prime. Who knows? But I like it.
So I think the Target Optimus Prime just came out because Hasbro and Target have a really good working relationship over the last several years. And, that's kind of the culmination of that.
Now, question. This is for the group. Does the Pepsi Optimus Prime, the vintage one, not the 2006 one,
yeah,
does that count as something that I have to have for my collection?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you even ask us, Brian?
Yeah.
I would also say Cookie Crisp Jazz if there was actually a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I know. I was getting to that.
I haven't thought about it. I'm like, I guess I need it, don't I?
Crap. You're okay. Clearly looking at one right now.
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at one.
No, I mean, that kind of makes sense, because every time we talk about one of these weird variant Optimus Primes, we always come back to the same thing. They need to make a new Pepsi Optimus with one of these molds.
They do. Oh, that's not Pepsi that expensive, actually. I thought it would have been more than that. That maybe that's the 2006 one.
Oh, they are nothing alike. It's a vintage it's just an Optimus Prime, basically. Trailer and everything.
I would love a Missing Link version of like 2006 Pepsi Prime, though. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Also, and so this one's still behind the paywall on Patreon. I think we can talk about it, though. Yeah. But Tricranius was released, the Fire Blast Pack. Was that 2022? Is that 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, sure.
The version that what was the fossilizer?
It was a retool of the Styracosaurus, I believe.
Yeah, so it was originally going to be a saber-toothed tiger. Is that what this is?
Yeah.
So it's going to be something completely different. And Ant on his Patreon has photos of what that would have potentially looked like. So what could have been? So check that out. Also, finally, an in-hand look at Legacy Sideburn. Don, what do you think?
Well, I like it. It looks good. Of course, we all knew this was coming. The thing is, though, I was not really happy with that Shadow Striker mold just from getting stuff to peg internally before you added the car shell to complete the look. So I doubt this will be any better. It could have been a tolerance issue, and mine was just wibbly wobbly, but I think he looks great. We all knew it was coming. I'll be glad to get him for my collection, but I'm not expecting it to be anything super awesome, wonderful, considering the mold it's from.
Does it feel like the representation of car robots and robots in disguise, though? Do you feel like it's getting its due? Especially with the HasLab.
I think you're going to be seeing more car robot stuff as they work it in, because everything, celebrating the 40-year anniversary, but there's also a lot of other parts of the fandom that haven't gotten... Years.
Yes, it is, Diecast. 40 years of Transformers.
Yeah, so I think there's other parts of the fandom that need as much representation. I mean, as much as I'm not a big fan of Beast Machines...
What's that, Botanica?
Not just Botanica, but I mean, like, a not, like, I don't know. I can't think of anything on top of my head other than Botanica that I would like to see, but I'm sure there's something I would like. You know, I like it. I think it's as good as we're going to get, because we'll just have to wait and see what else. I mean, there's molds out there they could repurpose into X-Brawn and Prowl, or there's new molds they could do and then repaint into Oblivion like they did before. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's not like I have inside information or anything.
My disappointment in this is profound.
Same. Like, I've been asking for a sideburn for years, but I was specifically asking for the Studio Series Hot Rod to be repainted like the club toy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the sideburn that I wanted. So this is my monkey's paw wish right here. I never picked up Shadow Striker. I've picked it up at retail a couple times and looked at it, and it just doesn't appeal to me, really. And I really don't like that car mode. And literally the only thing they've changed on this is the paint scheme in the head. Like, this isn't going to look right for anybody that got the HasLab. This isn't going to look right standing next to it.
I mean, like, if we're going to grade on a curve all of the Robots in Disguise tribute stuff they've done for Legacy and adjacent to Legacy, like, yes, I think we'd have to give that like a B+ based on, you know, HasLab, Omega Prime. But like, if we're actually grading these for their individual merits, the coverage for Robots in Disguise and Legacy is pretty close to a D-, if not an F, from where I'm sitting. Like, I like that they're doing it, but everything that's not that HasLab has just been so, like, fundamentally flawed in one way or another. We saw Shadow Striker and it favored sideburns so much, I was really expecting, like, more retooling, more alternate parts on the sideburn version to change the profile of the vehicle mode. Like, the robot mode was going to look basically the same regardless because it was already correct. I really thought they were going to change up the vehicle mode, though, to try to get something that more carried the essence of the original toy. I did not expect them to, you know, license a Dodge Viper or anything like that. You know, I was keeping reasonable expectations, but, like, this didn't... I don't feel like this really tried to do anything, which means, ultimately, we got a supposedly Cyberverse Shadow Striker that was fundamentally compromised as a representation of that character in order to then end up with a Robots in Disguise sideburn, which is just as compromised a representation of that character. We got neither of these things to be at all right or satisfying, just so that both of them could share one mold. Like, it really sours me how this mold has been handled and couldn't get one thing right because it was trying to do two different things in one. Like, I don't even feel like I'm expressing this correctly to, like, convey the depth of my disappointment.
And we'll probably still see a roulette off of it at some point.
Maybe. Like, it feels like the BotCon toy remakes have kind of fallen off. At this point, we haven't heard about a new one in, like, a year. You know, Antagony was the last one that was even on any lists that we saw that I remember. And, you know, that's been out for a while, and all has been quiet on that front ever since. Unfortunately, I feel like probably our, you know, Fractal and Pack Wrap that we were hoping for is kind of evaporated at this point too, which, you know, that's the risk you run when you have a bunch of, like, just straight repaints. Those are easy to cancel over new toys or retools. But yeah, like, this sideburn is really disappointing. I think the toe line, like, I think those colors look really good on that mold. It's a terrible representation of toe line from the cartoon in any event. Like, it's just, even the HasLab, it's just remakes of the old toys and not really trying to do anything new with their concepts. Like, you know, that's why I'm saying, like, you know, on a curve, it may be a B+, because even the HasLab, nice as it is, like, they put work into making those as nice toys. They're just remakes of the old toys, so I can't even give that full marks. Like, I'm just really disappointed with how the Robots in Disguise coverage and legacy has really turned out at this point. It really seems like it's either equal to or slightly behind what they have done with the Cyberverse characters so far in the line. And that's only up potentially higher than that because the Windblade that they, you know, just released in Legacy United is at least pretty clearly at, you know, its own mold and everything, and it's pretty clearly Cyberverse Windblade. So they did get at least one purpose-made new thing out that reflects the character it's trying to go at retail. So that has that going for it. The Robots in Disguise thing doesn't, it can't even really claim that.
Okay, fair. Hey, let's jump to what we got this week. Don, tell us about tfradio.net/cheat sheet.
CHEETSHEET.
tfradio.net/CHEETSHEET. If you want to send him some core class Supreme Cheetors, that's the way. Don, how many did you get today?
I didn't get anything of importance in the mail today.
How many of those did you get? How many Cheetors?
Nothing of importance came in the mail today.
Don, tell us how many you got.
Six of the things.
That is great.
Okay, so. As entertaining as this was as a concept, I'm going to say, for everybody listening out there who is inclined, I think we have played the joke. Please do not torment Don any further with these toys.
I have six.
Yeah.
Half a dozen.
Yeah. Those
a fourth of 24.
Don will be putting those aside for Toys for Tots later this year, and in lieu of sending Don any more little Cheetors, you know, if you're so inclined, put that money that you would have spent on that aside for Elf on a Shelf Warmer when that starts up in October.
Well, no, they're perfect for Elf on a Shelf Warmer. There's kids that'll love to have
these kids don't have anything. Why give them something that makes them sadder?
No. They are perfect for Elf on a Shelf Warmer. So either put money aside that you would have spent sending Don Cheetors and spend that money buying some Elf on a Shelf Warmer stuff later this year, or order the Cheetors, have them sent to you, and put them aside to donate later this year. Either way, we've had our fun with this. Let's let Don have some peace now and no more Cheetors.
He has the shelf. He has the shelf. I got him a shelf. He needs to put them on it. That's why I bought him the shelf.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the thing is, guys, I begged. I pleaded. I appeal to everybody's humanity as one collector to another on something I did not want. I'm a little pissed.
So, Don, I just want to say, I did not send you a Cheetor.
And I will not send you a Cheetor. Because I have been approached multiple times at conventions being told we need to be nicer to Don.
Yeah,
so, I will not do that to you. Please don't do that to Don.
So, and as I said a few weeks ago, the reason I hate that figure is that is the living physical embodiment of all the crap I wish I had never bought from, say, Beast Machines, skipping over RID, some of the Armada stuff, most of the Energon stuff, a lot of the Cybertron. That it's just the stuff that I wish I had never bought in the first place, given form in that one Cheetor. That's why I don't like it so much, because it reminds me of how much money I wasted on stuff that I didn't really like. I just bought it to complete the set. It's a new theme to get that dopamine hit.
But you did get some Owl Cups.
Yes, I guess I have some left, surprisingly. What I got this week was a cornucopia of fun things.
And six Cheetors.
I said fun things. Got the Optimus Primal and Aerostrike from Target for $3. It was saying $7.99. It rang up $3.08 or something like that. So I got it. Because Aerostrike is kind of neat for a bow and arrow. I can use them on someone else. So I got that.
You know what's neat for a bow and arrow? The Nerf bow and arrow from 1990.
It was. I've never had a desire to buy a Nerf, but I always wanted that sniper rifle for some reason. Picked up, I wasn't going to buy this, but with Target sale currently, and with the nature of core class looking like it's a little iffy, I wasn't going to get the Galvatron. I mean, get the Megatron and wait for Galvatron, because in those purples and oranges, I think it would look better, like the regular Energon does. But for $6.99, I figured I better go ahead and get it, because we may not get a Galvatron. Thanks to a sale on Amazon, I decided to pick up the Javelin and Cascade set. It was like $29, which was about $20 off. That's $15 for a deluxe. And they're molds that I like for the most part, so I thought I would give that a try. I stopped by Target today, and I had double-checked with Matt on this, and he didn't need them. But I went ahead and picked up a Gnoll. They actually had Gnolls on the shelf. Apparently, they're reshipping them.
Do you know why?
I'm guessing the anniversary in general.
Yeah, it's a package refresh.
No. Do you know what they're shipping with?
On the shelf was the other two of the other things I got, which I'll be talking about in a minute.
Gamer That's edition. Correct.
Gamer, yeah. So you know, you're just asking me.
Yeah. I was asking you.
Yeah.
Because I was shocked when I saw them on the shelf, and then I saw what else was on the shelf, and then I quickly put two and two together, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. But I do want to talk about these before I get to my last big, not a big thing, but my most looking forward to thing. I got Gamer Edition Sideswipe and Bumblebee Movie Sunstreaker. These two are very solid figures. Sunstreaker transforms smoothly. The yellows look great. It's unique, but it's very Sunstreaker. There's some tabs, but it's not like Shadow Striker where you have to get these tabs in before you do anything else. Everything just kind of seats into place. The robot mode looks great, and you can see G1 Sunstreaker kind of in the DNA of this figure, which I'm sure is what they were going for. But it's a great looking figure, and I definitely think it's a stronger deluxe class for the year. Sideswipe is a little bit beneath Sunstreaker because the legs are a little spindly, and if you look on the film for the video, those gray planks are his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't look bad in robot mode, and stuff does fold together again. Is he sort of like the reverse of Shadow Striker? Everything kind of pegs together. It's just the legs and the feet they need to be some more mass down there so he would be a little bit easier to pose. But I didn't have any trouble getting him into vehicle mode other than, again, when you've got several tabs that have to, you got one tab that goes under, then one tab goes in, then one tab goes in somewhere else. You get that pop off left or right, you know, but these two are solid deluxes and definitely worth getting, especially if you can find them at Target on sale. The last thing I got this week was Gears.
Oh, jealous. Where'd you get it?
I got it from Hasbro Pulse. I like Gears. He's not going to replace Braun as my best mini bot for the year, mainly because.
Well, Braun came out last year, Don.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sorry.
He doesn't have to replace it. He's the successor to
it. Well, then, I mean, you know, for this year, then he's definitely in the running then.
Yeah, I agree. Gears has, like, definite, like, deluxe of the year potential for me.
Yeah, he transforms great. The only thing is aesthetics with the chest plate on the back of the truck. That's they really couldn't do anything else with that, I would think. But I think the going with the hidden wheels to get the wheels hidden in robot mode was more important than, you know, kind of making the back not look like the chest plate. But he transforms great, everything compacts together. It's really interesting that in the feet, in his heels are basically the size of his windows in vehicle mode.
Mm-hmm.
But they fold up into heel spurs. And you don't have, like, very little hollowness other than, you know, when you fold the front wheels out, obviously, duh. But definitely a solid deluxe. Very grateful to get him. And I can't wait to see if they do anything. I hope they do a little something different because Swerve does not share the exact same body. You know, he's not a... You know, the original G1 toy was, but we've seen from, like, the masterpieces, like Diecast, you've got the masterpieces. They are two, the Gears and the Swerve are very different toys. The Swerve is actually easier than the Gears from Fans Toys.
But Swerve is closer to Gears than Outback is to Braun.
Yeah.
Toy-wise.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I'm looking forward to both of those because this Gears wound up being a super strong figure, so I really like him.
CMD store has it in stock. Should I just do that?
Yes, right now. It is that good.
Especially if you can find one or two other things there to amortize the shipping a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've also got Silverbolt in, Brian. And if you don't have Silverbolt...
Silverbolt coming, like, this week.
Okay. Because, I mean, I bought a second Silverbolt today with the sale.
Right.
Because I've got a flight stand. And I thought that would be really cool to have one in wolf mode, one in beast mode, and then one in robot mode, as nice as that figure looks.
Now, Don, let me ask you a question. Because in all the photos that I've seen in vehicle mode, it looks like they almost made it like a lifted truck. Like, it looks like the
it is mainly because the way the wheels hide, they're a little offset from the rest of the body, so it does,
and they're a little small too, like, yeah. that's a big part of it. So we talked about this some on There Goes My Money, the last episode that went out, and Mike, here's why it's cool, I think, was comparing it to like a Top Kick, I think. I mean, it looks like the vehicle mode styling is like big lifted truck kind of thing, just because of the proportion of the wheels and, you know, that they sit kind of low on the vehicle body.
Yeah, that's the only thing I didn't like about it from the photos. And then I feel like it could have used a little bit of paint underneath that chest piece that lifts up.
Now, I read something on Twitter today. I have not had a chance because I do not know where it's at. But I saw, and I cannot, I've tried to find it to reference whoever said this. I apologize for not giving you credit. Apparently, the Laserbeak that came with Core Class Soundwave fits in his chest as the disc that can be removed.
I don't think it actually fits in there. Like, I haven't seen a picture of it being stuck in there, but what I remember of that accessory, it's thicker than any of the like places that could receive it in here. I think Mark Mayer was suggesting on his Instagram post that you could just use that as a stand-in prop for
maybe
the floppy disk that Megatron put in Gears,
because I just saw it today and did not get a chance to do any research. I thought that would be, it's not quite the level of making the small Legends class gun Megatron from Thrilling 30 be able to fit in Masterpiece Starscream's hands. It's not quite that. It's not that level of forethought, but that's what I saw, and I thought that would be cool if that was true.
So two points I want to touch on here with Gears before I let Don move on, if he's got anything to move on
that
to.
Was it. That was it.
So for like making a swerve out of this, most likely the chest piece, which is a simple removable part, and the robot head, like,
that's
they're the
all
same,
you need to change.
They're the same color plastic. They're probably on the same parts tree together, so like that's an easy thing where if they want to do Swerve or another character, they want to change up the visual style a little, like if they want to make Smallfoot look more distinct from Gears, you know, those two parts can probably be swapped out together for alternate pieces. And for what Diecast was saying about the under chest, basically, unfortunately, the reason that's not painted, besides any budgetary considerations that may have existed, it's a nylon part. It's unpaintable.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which doesn't mean that, you know, an at-home end user would not be able to use hobby paints on that and pick out some of those details and have it work. It's just the factory paints specifically that will definitely not adhere to that nylon plastic. All right, who's next?
I'll go. Don kind of stole some of my thunder.
Good, because you stole my joy with Cheetors. Three of them came from him.
The Sunstreaker and the Sideswipe, and Sideswipe is Gamer, and Sunstreaker is Bumblebee concept. They look so much better in person than their promo photos that I saw them on Target shelf. Like Don, I saw the Gnolls first, and I was like, wow, Gnolls. And these guys were there too. So I do love that they're refreshing Gnolls, though. That's that's awesome. So I can add to my troop builders. But yeah, and at Target, for some reason, they're only $20, which is much more palatable to my brain.
Target Circle sale. If you're a Circle member, when you either use your phone number or you use your phone wallet on your phone, it gives you the discount at register, but it won't show on the scanners.
I think Target actually has some of the Studio Series toys at lowered prices to start with.
Correct. Wrong. Studio Series, well, I scanned those and they came up 24 on the scanner. Wrong does come up at 19.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be kind of weird and variable anyway.
I don't know. These I scanned them on the scanner before I took them to the register and I was like, yeah, 19, they came up at the correct $19.99. So I got them. I think they're much better than we thought they were going to be. I also got Blaster in the mail, 86. Mm-hmm. I really like the paint on him. It's amazing what paint will do. Even his feet are painted, and you can tell because they left the backside unpainted, like the little like quarter of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a big deal, but that's how you can really tell that like they painted that part instead of putting a new just like doing a new sprue or something like that. The other thing I got today, which I didn't have time to take out of the package, is Chromia.
Hmm.
She came from Amazon and I was shocked because what else is in the wave with her? Gears.
Shard.
I didn't get any of those. It was just Chromia. So
that I've seen pictures of that Chromia. That Chromia looks a lot better with that Prowl mold than I initially thought.
Yeah, it looks good. It just isn't. It's not Cyberverse Chromia by any stretch of the imagination. That's the only problem with it, honestly.
And then two figures I picked up on Amazon that were relatively cheap. tfradio.net/Amazon. I got Alita 1 and Tarantulas because I really like Tarantulas, especially in Beast Wars mode, Spider mode.
Oh, like the season one body.
Yeah.
That's unusual. Like most people tend to gravitate toward Transmetal Tarantulas design wise.
I do. I mean that the Transmetal, especially the black and gray version, is just an absolutely, well, it's the same thing for the Cybertron Megatron. The Galvatron, the black and gray version, is absolutely stunning. I love the first version of that that Megatron version because that's a very Colin Baker kind of, you know, color style there.
As was the style at the time, yes.
And then the last thing I got, which was the surprise box that I got today from Deep Discount, was my Missing Link Optimus Prime with the trailer.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. 01. It looks so nice in box. I don't even want to take it out. I can't even express how odd it feels to get a Transformer in the mail with styrofoam and kind of G1 packaging. That's like, you know, if you didn't look at it twice, you would be like, that's G1 Prime. Because I have I'm looking at the Optimus Prime reissue from Toys R Us on my shelf that's in the box, and that didn't even have styrofoam. So that almost looks newer than this. It's a very weird thing. And I'm super happy I have it.
Well, you're lucky, Doc. Well, Doc, actually, might I ask you how much you paid for that?
It was so long ago, I don't remember.
Okay. Reason I'm asking is a place where we've all shopped from that Rob introduced us to has it new in the box, CO1. With the current exchange rate, it's at $194.
What?
Ooh.
That's the only place I've seen it in stock. Because I got the other cab-only version. I didn't want to spend the extra $60 for the trailer version because that paid for Lunar Prime. So I got both versions of that.
So Suruga is a secondhand store as well. So, like, if they don't have, you know, first-run inventory on hand, if they've got one, that might be one that, like, you know, it's a common thing for, like, Japanese bloggers to get something, take their pictures of it, then pack it back up nice, you know, like it's almost new, and then go sell it to one of those secondhand stores. So it might be something like that, and they're pricing it according to the market demand.
Right. It's just, I'm not seeing I mean, I was like, well, maybe if I see the 01 again and it's a good price, I should get it. Just, but everywhere I've seen is either sold out or it's these higher than retail prices. So I'm not sure how much longer they're going to be able to be found before they start going up naturally as the supply dries up.
I would be very surprised if they did not do another run of Missing Link Convoy sometime this year, if or early next year, maybe at the latest. Like,
yeah,
I think that's something that they could keep just printing every so often and still have it sell consistently.
Like, say, it's evergreen.
No, more like a perennial. Yeah.
Cool. Anything else, Snackcast?
That is all that I brought down. That is all.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah, sure. So, like, nothing, like, groundbreakingly new, but, you know, in my travels, I was able to stop at a couple of Targets because I wanted to try to take advantage of the sale, and I think I did pretty well on that. So, the Targets I went to were actually pretty decently stocked. Every one of them I visited had, Legacy United Silverbolt, for instance. So I was able to get that for about $20 with the current 30% off sale. And I'm certainly glad I got it for $20 instead of $35 because, like, it's fine. Like, it looks okay. And, you know, it's a fairly good representation of what the character looked like. It doesn't feel like a great toy, though. And honestly, like, it could be a better representation of Silverbolt, I think. I've been complaining for a while about how, like, it can't do the wings over the shoulders thing, which was, you know, it was an element in the show, but it was also, like, a major thing for the original toy, too, and it just feels weird to have that omitted. What I didn't really realize until I had it in hand and was messing with it is that the wings, as they sit on the back, are also just, like, kind of oddly low from the shoulders. Like, I feel like they should be at, like, half an inch higher up. The transformation is also kind of odd in that it's trying to get to the two same endpoints as the original toy, of course, but it's taking like twice as many steps to do it. And for whatever reason, it's like doing some of the steps backwards, kind of. Like, there's a lot of the design philosophy of this toy that I don't really get why they made the choices they made. It's not in the same vein as like the Cybertron Starscream, because that really is trying to just be the original toy and not understand why it's doing it. This is trying to, like, this is like, you know, 50% a different toy that they're trying to kind of make be the original toy, if that makes sense. Like, I don't really get what some of the thought was behind how this is engineered in particular. And there's just some elements missing from it that stop it from being like a really exceptional toy. This to me kind of falls more in the general range of Beast Wars updates from Kingdom, where, like, yeah, they're all right, but like they don't stand out as anything really special to me. You know, I like some of the little quality of life improvements of this. You know, having the wrist swivels is nice, having a dedicated bicep swivel instead of having to use the ball joint elbow to do that like on the original toy. You know, that's all well and good. It's a neat little extra to have the opening wolf mouth, like, and of course, like, I can't, like, downplay the robot head and how really strongly media accurate it is. Like, if you want something that is the portrait of that character, they nailed that part of that with this. Like, I can't complain about that. It's just, like, the parts of it that make it a toy just feel kind of weird and off to me, and somebody was talking about the Core Class Cheetor and how it had those tabs to lock all the legs together. Silverbolt has tabs also to lock the front legs into a certain position. And it's kind of the same problem as was described with the Cheetor, where if you don't use those tabs, the legs kick out at a weird angle and you can't really do anything about that. Like, if you don't clip those tabs off, for instance, you can't really have the legs like streamlined against the body and still be movable. You have to have them either tabbed in and immobilized above the elbow, or you have to have them out of there, and then you can pose them, but when you want the at-rest pose, it's going to be at a little bit, it's going to be in an off-looking position. And I don't really know why they felt it was necessary to have that tab and slot system for the legs like that. It doesn't make any sense to me on Cheetor either, because Cheetor's case is way more extreme than this. But yeah, I mean, for around $20, I think this is totally okay. It'll make a nice enough display piece with the Kingdom Black Arachnia. Like, I love that they made sure to scale those two toys correctly to each other. But yeah, I just, engineering-wise, I wish this was more of a repeat of the original Beast Wars toy, you know, with some mild improvements to that, rather than trying to reinvent the wheel, more or less. The bird dugget wheel. I also got Earthspark Deluxe Thrash. I found one of those hanging around at Target. It was also part of the sale, so I got it for $13.99, which I, for an Earthspark Deluxe, I think is a pretty okay price to pay. Like, you know, the Robots in Disguise Warrior Class toys, which is what I often compare this tier of product to, was $15 toys, and that felt about right. This $13.99 to $15 is pretty much the right price point for this, because I feel pretty satisfied with this Thrash. Or, now this is even Thrash. It's Nightshade, not Thrash. I'm sorry. I got Earthspark Nightshade, the owl. I had Thrash. Brian got it for me for Christmas or my birthday or something. No, it's Nightshade, the owl. I found that and they got that for $13.99. But the same thing applies. Like, these figures are good at about the $15 price point. I like the engineering on this pretty well. The transformation is just complicated enough to be like, you know, you gotta squint at the picture a little bit to kind of figure out where some of the parts are going, but it's still intuitive and you can do it without actually using instructions. And when we looked at the official photography of it early on, it felt like the robot arms were like kind of prominent on the front, but in hand, in practice, they are disguised a lot more than I thought they would be for just kind of sitting there. Like, the colors and the shapes really do kind of mesh, so it doesn't immediately just look like robot parts hanging out holding up the legs. The wings are pretty decently posable. You can get like a convincing at rest bird pose, which is, you know, it's something I always look for in bird alt modes. Air Razor's ability to do that pretty well was something that endeared me to that toy during Kingdom also. This isn't quite as complex as that, but like it's doing its job pretty nicely. The one complaint I can have with this is more down to the packaging decisions than anything. The large wing sections are separated from the toy and they're bound down against the cardboard backing. They're bound down so tightly though that the plastic ties distort the channels along the top of the wing where the little knives go into, because it's a softer plastic for the wing pieces. You can kind of, you know, press them back out into shape, and especially if you put those knives in, that should eventually kind of reposition the plastic the way it needs to be. But like, it was just a bad choice to run those tie downs directly over those slightly thinner soft plastic pieces, because that was just asking for warping those parts. But like, yeah, this is a cool little toy. I don't have very much of the Earthspark toy line. You know, I don't really have anything against them for the most part, but a lot of it is just like, it's not calling to me at $20. This though, like, I think this is pretty solid for an on sale price. I don't know if I would feel quite as happy with it at 20, but it's a very good little deluxe and probably is worth its full price if that's the only way that you can get it. Meanwhile, to correct my earlier error, like the Thrash Deluxe class that's going to be coming out in a future assortment, I think actually just from the pictures is kind of clearly inferior to the Warrior class one, which is what Brian gifted me off of my Amazon wish list some months ago. But like between those two, like I've got, you know, fairly nice toys of two of the original characters that I like in the show pretty well. So I'm kind of happy with how that's worked out.
Yeah, I took a long look at that Thrash, the deluxe class. It is not what I want for that character. I mean, right. The sidecar is really just the little shield thing, and that's all it is. It's just,
yeah,
this is a case where the Warrior class is actually the definite winner of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the, like, if the opportunity readily comes up, I'd like to get the Takara version that seems to have a ton more paint on it for the Warrior class, because like that looked in the pictures pretty sharp, But I also kind of think, like, possibly the actual toy when it's released is not going to look near that good, because that the promo pictures they had, that looked like it was like 100% paint covered, which I just cannot possibly be the correct truth of what is going on with that. So, like, that's definitely something I'm going to need to see further coverage on. But, like, the Takara versions of this stuff also looks really good, and that's going to be something in the future that I will take a look into to see if I can get, like, a little bit better versions of the characters that stand out to me. So I got Silverbolt for $20. I got Nightshade for $13.99. I also found 86 Blaster, and I was able to get that for about $24 with the sale price. I haven't had a chance to open Blaster. I kind of prioritized Silverbolt and Nightshade as I was opening up stuff during pre-show, because, you know, Blaster is kind of a known quantity, but you know, the colors on this pop, I like the design on the opaque chest door. The head looks good with the white paint on it, and the, you know, the bright blue eyes are good. And I can kind of see Eject down in the package, and, like, you know, the opaque plastic and the paintwork on that, that pops too. I'm glad to have a non-clear plastic version of this. And, you know, I said I wasn't going to pick this up until I was able to like find it on clearance or something, but, like, $24 is totally within my acceptable price range for this, and to not have to worry about you know, finding one later on when they probably will clearance out a little cheaper than that. Like, that's definitely a I can live with it sort of thing. Also came in the mail today, but did not have a chance to do any more than just open the package and give them a once over to make sure there was no obvious defects or anything, was the Autobots United 5-pack. That came from Pulse, and I, like, just for a quick visual inspection, I'm really satisfied with how all those toys look. Sunstreaker's yellow is really nice in person. The photos conveyed that very nicely and accurately. Wheeljack's bright white pop, they're really, really clean looking. Trailbreaker's main body color, I think I could stand to have that be a little bit darker, but, like, I'm fine with it as it is. It favors a little bit more the gray than the black side of it, for my tastes, like that. But that's kind of down to interpretation of, like, what the G1 animation was kind of going for with its color choices. Hound looks totally fine. Like, of anything, Hound would have been the thing probably I would have been most motivated to try to pop out of there and mess with some early, but, you know, having had detritus since last summer, that didn't really seem like a big priority. And Jazz looks fine. Like, Jazz, of course, was the least changed from the original release, just the opaque plastic switch. But, like, yeah, the whole 5-pack looks good. I didn't see any obvious, like, production defects on there, so hopefully that'll bear out as I get those out and transform them. But that's what I got this week.
Take a drink, by the way.
What did you buy?
I got Gears.
Oh, good.
Nice.
So you suggested, like, spreading the shipping across. So shipping was $15.
Yeah.
For Gears.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 classified toys that I didn't have.
So there you go. So that's almost like getting free shipping.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can live with that.
I can live with that. Matt, did you get anything?
Yes, I did. So I also got the Autobots United 5-pack. I have had time to get them out and mess around with them.
Good.
So, sadly, my Jazz has a little bit of paint bleed on the face. There's a little bit of the gray from his face washed out onto the right side of his face. It's not a deal breaker. I could probably clean it up if I tried. But he is really nice, and upon taking the Studio Series 86 version down, and I noticed that he was starting to yellow.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that's figures, what, like 3, maybe 4 years old? So that might be something to look into. I really like Hound. I like the... he's got like a minty green to his thighs and his midsection that I think goes really well with the olive drab green across the rest of the robot. I like the way he looks. Sunstreaker is all one color of yellow now, which is a vast improvement. I don't think the Sunstreaker and Wheeljack toys are aging particularly well. Not my favorite toys in the set. Trailbreaker is great. Absolutely love him. So I also got Legacy United Gears, and he is every bit as fantastic as everybody said he is. Gears, if not my first Transformer, was one of the first Transformers. He's definitely the first one I remember having. So it was really important that they got this one right to me. And I believe Mark said that he worked on this with Hasui-san. And two thumbs up. Absolutely. And I would like to see these guys take a stab at Windcharger next, because he is...
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
He is also going to require some interesting engineering tricks to match his show model.
And we need to see, we need a new sea spray.
And Power Glide. Those three would finish off the mini-bots. Yeah, the original set.
Yeah.
And, like, I cannot say enough good stuff about Gears. He is just absolutely marvelous. I will turn on my video for a moment here. And I also got Leader Class Sandstorm.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Very nice.
He is really freaking good. Like, I am absolutely happy with him. Surprisingly easy to go from robot mode to his dune buggy mode. Marginally more complicated to go to helicopter mode, but it looks fantastic. And I gotta say, like, congratulations to whoever pulled this off. Like, if he comes out with the toy face, I will probably get another one. This one can go on the wrecker shelf. Really happy with how he came out, but there is one glaring flaw, and that is the floppy chest.
Oh, yeah.
So the way his chest locks in robot mode is he's got small tabs here on each side and a 5mm port. And none of them fit right. Not a single one. The 5mm port might actually fit if the tabs on the sides allowed it to go in far enough. It does not. That is quite possibly limited to a few copies of the mold. I haven't heard a whole lot about this toy yet, so it may not be a widespread problem. I certainly hope it's not. But that is the only thing that I have, like, the only thing that stops this from being absolutely spectacular. On his helicopter mode, yes, the front wheels are just very clearly folded up under the helicopter mode. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, they had to go somewhere. But strongly recommend Sandstorm. He is absolutely fantastic.
Just waiting for BBTS to film a pre-order. Basically,
yeah, mine came from Pulse, and it was one of those weird ones that they shipped domestic DHL, and actually only took a couple of days. I was shocked and amazed. So I got all this stuff on Monday, I believe.
You know, I think that Sandstorm is the first triple changer we've had in a very long time where one mode wasn't just completely compromised for the other two.
Yeah,
it's probably the most balanced triple changer we've gotten.
Well, with Sandstorm,
maybe ever.
With Sandstorm, it helps that even in his original animation model, he had the huge backpack. So you're not expecting that to disappear. You accept that that's there from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's part of what he should look like. And luckily for the toy, because he's absolutely great.
Well, they've said they want to give us the other handsome face, but I don't know. What?
And I'm sure they'll find a way.
Yeah, I just don't know how they would get it to us without just doing a case refresh and changing the face.
That might end up being how they do it.
Or they could give us another figure or he with could go some in accessories.
He could go in Studio Series. I mean, he's not in the movie, but if they ever do Studio Series ACOM, which is the thing I absolutely want to happen, they could do it like that. So please, Hasbro, give me Studio Series ACOM releases. Please, I beg of you. But that's all I got.
Rob?
On topic, all I got was Lunar Cruiser Prime, which is a really nice figure.
It is nice. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's definitely got some minor Shelly aspects that are not, you know, like my favorite approach to a Transformer. But given that you know, that's just going to happen when you have to make a, you know, real world vehicle. I think there's only so much you can do to, you know, change the shapes. I feel like the legs could be a little bit more, that they work fine, but they just feel a little hollow to me. That's about the only complaint I have about it. It looks great. I like it. It's taller, I think, than most of the Voyager Optimus Primes we've gotten lately. And it's just a nice little toy, and I'm glad I got it, and I don't have any more sophisticated thoughts about it than that.
Cool. For me, Diecast, you may have gotten this a while back. You got something like this off Timu. There's an official Transformers store, and I got a pair of earbuds. I think you got that.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of them out there.
Yeah. These are official. They're licensed. They're not knockoffs. They're like $15 and decent. So, I got that. I got Blaster. Haven't opened it. Went straight into storage. Got, Scrap Heap straight into storage. I got the new Cybertronian Wheeljack straight into storage.
Mm-hmm.
I got the 5-pack
straight into storage.
Yeah, I know I opened it because that came today.
Damn it!
So I looked at it, and John had to drop. But from John, I got the Lyo Convoy versus Galvatron.
Oh, set. Nice! Ooh.
I already have the toys. I just didn't have the Versus set.
Mm-hmm.
So,
packaging looks great.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, actually, my Galvatron box has some water damage from years ago, from when I was living in the apartment underneath the radio station. There's some water damage for that. I have no idea where the Lyo Convoy box is. And Lyo Convoy is not a toy you want to play with or touch. So, it needs to live in a box. So, at least with this, now it'll look nice. So, that's what I got this week on topic. We want to thank our patrons at patreon.com/TF Radio. Patrons get an ad-free version of Radio Free Cybertron. You get the show the day before it posts to the public feed. Radio Free Cybertron and There Goes My Money is posted at a higher bit rate. There's a weekly Patreon exclusive pre-show podcast. There are unedited episodes of RSC exclusive to patrons. There Goes My Money podcast a week early. Patrons at the Touch tier get to be on There Goes My Money. And Touch patrons are mentioned on the show each week and listed at tfradio.net/credits, which I will do now. Kevin Dorsey, Jacob Owen Lucio, Sean Bratton, Emmett Sresovich, Hector Bones, Jay Klein Rye, Joey Russell, Here's Why It's Cool, Rabbits, Rick Mahurin, Ryan Bona, Sean Hamilton, Sean Williamson, Spider Bob, Trickster, thank you all so much. You guys rock. We love you. Again, if you want to be mentioned here or you want to be on There Goes My Money, patreon.com/TF Radio, Touch tier. You can find all of our stuff at tfradio.net. John DeLuna had a drop. He's at That John D everywhere. He's on eBay as Cloudburst. That's how I got this Versus set. Rob Springer not here. He is at zonebase.org, at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter, and on Blue Sky at zonebase.bsky.social. You can find me at BrianKilby.com, on Blue Sky at Kilby.bsky.social, and still on Twitter at BKilby. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on Twitter and on Blue Sky at Diecast2. You can see my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast, and you can see my reviews on tfradio.net/reviews.
Don.
I'm reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR. I can also be reached on Blue Sky at HMRC, number 4 EVR, .bluesky.social.
Matt?
Malvar.bsky.social. That's with 3 L's and 2 R's.
Rob?
RobFlails.bsky.social. Also on YouTube at youtube.com/flailthroughs. Patreon for that is patreon.com/flailthroughs. And, have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/playlist.
Chris?
I'm on Blue Sky as Chris RTXV. Go check it out. I'll throw a couple of my photos from the eclipse up there. Obviously, it doesn't compare to seeing it, you know, directly in person, but I was happy I was able to get like a couple of like generally representative pictures of that. So I'll put those up there. Playwithphotography.com for the toy photography work I've done. And my Amazon wish list is at tfradio.net/chrislist. Also, check out our Discord, tfradio.net/discord.
Yeah, cool. Okay, well, that's it. We will see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.